Let's get into it.
All right.
Wow. First time my phone rings.
Who is it? Answer it. Answer it.
Can't.
Answer
We're
it.
We're going to have to start over. No, it's answer a work it. Call. I got to turn my phone off. Well, how long is this thing going to ring for? All right, we're good. Run it back.
Time. Airplane mode. All right, WSP Podcast, your source for West Coast sports. We have a West Coast bias here. We're going to get into COVID sports speculation. Okay, Wynn. I can speculate. You can speculate. Everyone speculates at this current time. So what I did was did a simple Google search, COVID sports speculation, spans across everything. And we cover predominantly college football, NFL, MLB, NBA. So I thought we'd touch on each of those. Let's speculate a little bit. Let's take our opportunity at this point in time where there's no live sports going on other than cornhole, to give our listeners a little insight into what we believe may happen after COVID.
NASCAR and MMA are live, so they've got those sports going. You're right. There's been a void without sports, and there's a lot of waiting around. And while we wait around, everyone has an opinion that they're tweeting about, they're writing about, they're speculating about. So let's get into it. Let's see what's out there.
All right. So quick Google search. First one, this is overarching, just COVID sports speculation from Alabama.com. Bill Hancock, college football playoff executive director. There is no talks of expansion of the NFL, or excuse me, college football playoff. And then he goes on to say, not any. What do you take from that?
In all caps, too. So he's really serious about not any. I think this guy is just writing an article because he can and he will. And he's probably a Tide fan. And the Bama goes to the BCS more times than it doesn't. So in his opinion, there shouldn't be expansion.
Well, he's the executive director. So he gets a little. And when there's smoke, there's fire. The fact that he's talking about it leads me to believe that if we go to a simply in-conference schedule for college football, they might need to expand. They might need to adapt. I'm just speculating there. But if we go to an 8-9 game conference only, and you end up with 7-8 teams that are 9-0, what happens then, K-Win?
We can speculate, but also what happens if there's schools that can play their non-conference games. You know, you've got UW in Michigan. You've got Ohio State, you know, playing Oregon. Some of these schools are going to reschedule. So what if you have a school that played 12 games and you had someone else that only played 7 or 8?
That's where it comes in. Not any, really, Bill Hancock? I think there might be a little more talk depending on when the season starts. And when students are let back on campus. That's just me. Speculation.
A lot of speculation. I'll go to Twitter, my main source of information. John Wilner, who writes for the Bay Area News Group, Mercury News, he says in a tweet, this was yesterday, combine Napolitano and Newsom's comments this week with anticipated ramp in COVID testing, and in my opinion, only a second wave, the 12 California schools playing football, .. Let's go. So what he's saying is Napolitano, who is the president of UC schools, and Newsom, who's our governor, based on their feedback and comments, they want to reopen. And if they reopen, if there's an opportunity to reopen, then the Pac-12 will kick off and play. So he's feeling very optimistic and bullish based on what these two people are saying in press conferences and news groups.
I mean, they're students first, athletes second when it comes to college sports. If the students aren't on campus, how can you in reality just do you become an athletic campus only? Or athletes only?
What Janet said is that the UC schools will be open for business this fall. There will be students on campus.
I find that tough to believe. But
I don't. Like, if you look at all the schools, they're making adjustments with the calendars. So they're starting school earlier, and then once Thanksgiving is coming up, that's when they think, I'm speculating, the second wave will come. And then once Thanksgiving comes, students will go home, and then they will just take remote classes either for the second half of the year, depending on what happens. So if everyone's on campus, everything is fine.
My own personal speculation is if we don't have students on campus, especially in California, live, then the idea that actually putting athletes on the field is more difficult.
I agree. We can go back and forth on this. The president says there will be students on campus.
Campus is open. How many students actually come back to campus remains to be seen.
True. But if the university's open, then that means they can play football. That's the silver lining.
There you go. Who's in The Silver Lining? It's a great movie.
Is that Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper and who's?
Jennifer Lawrence.
That was Jennifer Lawrence's like jump off right there.
Yeah.
She did a phenomenal job in The Silver Lining. All right, NBA. Google search. Article. The Chicago Sports NBC says that now all 30 teams will participate in coronavirus antibody testing.
Interesting.
You have to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why there's a now. It should have always been the case.
Right? What does this lead to? Does this lead to particular states that are going to allow just play games to be played? Back to what you've talked about previously, it's all about TV, it's all about revenue, it's all about money. Do different states have different leniencies? What if one player tests positive? Does the entire team not get to play? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think what that quote or statement is missing is you've got to test the families as well. Because if you only test the team and the employees and they go home to their families, then it's kind of irrelevant, right?
And how many people can you test?
I don't know.
Like what's states are... States lack the resources potentially to test humans that may have contracted. Now we're just doing theoreticals. We're doing it so that they can play. I mean, 30 teams, 15 players on each staff. That's in the thousands. That's a lot of people.
You'd have to test the media people as well.
Yeah. Do we need the media there?
Just WST podcast. Chris, but Paul Pierce was throwing shade at LeBron James this week. He says LeBron James isn't a top five all-time player because he's jumped around the league to win championships. He goes on to say Bill Russell, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Kareem, and Larry Bird all are all-time because they stayed, they stuck with it, and they won and built a championship. And I think Mr. Pierce is just making some comments to make some comments. Because we all know he had a rivalry with LeBron when he was with the Celtics and LeBron with the Cavs. So I think he just likes to knife him a little bit just to remind him that I don't like you and I beat you.
It's almost the existence of have you had a long-term relationship? What defines that? Has LeBron had a long relationship with anyone? It's almost like he got to the altar with three different teams. Different teams now. And then left.
Yeah. Well, I would almost say three because Cleveland and then Miami, then back to Cleveland again.
Yeah, but it's the same girl.
I don't know. She had a facelift. She didn't have Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love before.
Transition to the MLB. Google search from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Under 1% K-win, Stanford has come through and actually tested nearly, I believe, I can't name you the exact teams, but the Cubs opted out. I think three teams opted out. They tested every one of the employees in and around MLB, and only under 1% came back as positive for the coronavirus. Well done. And what does this mean for the MLB?
It means there's still a risk. because like I always say, if you don't have it today, you could get it tomorrow. And that test could be not that conclusive or important. It's all about the vaccine and keeping the players, the families, the staff, and everyone involved safe. So I think it's great that they ran that test, but we can just speculate on what happens from here.
And one of your teammates gets coronavirus. Do you shut it down? Do you go into quarantine across the entire team? What does that mean?
I think you have to treat it like any other illness, like the flu. Like if one player is sick, you obviously test everyone else. If there are people who aren't impacted, baseball plays like every day. You got to get back out there and play the game. I think that's why they said that they were going to expand the rosters to maybe 50 players just in case a couple people get sick. I think you still got to play if you're healthy and you don't have the virus and you're not contagious.
What does a major league season look like to you?
It's start July 4th.
Okay, when for COVID.
I think they're going to play half the games. They'll play like, what is that?
Roughly 81
games. 81 games. Yeah. But they're going to run into the same problem that college football is going to run into. Do you expand the playoffs? Do you leave it? Like, what do you do? And what no one is talking about is what if that second wave comes a little bit sooner than expected? Just stop all the sports in September and then start them up again in December or January? I don't know. A lot of speculation. What are your thoughts?
You brought it up. There's so many moving parts in baseball. I mean, you can play a 3-game series, but then what happens after that? How often do you move around? In NFL and NBA, you don't move around as much. You're not going from location to location. So there can be more checks and balances with it. With the major leagues, if you're trying to play divisions and cross divisions, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of people. So for me, it's, although this is promising, like you said, it leaves a lot of exposure possibilities, I guess.
It does, which I'll go to my latest tweet from Mike DiGiovanni from the LA Times. He covers both the Angels and the Dodgers. And there was a proposal this week. If there is an 82-game MLB season, there will be no spitting, no high fives, no fist bumps, no hugs, no smokeless tobacco, and no chewing of the sunflower seeds. And also, what it doesn't say in that tweet, that players on the road won't be allowed to leave the hotels. So they wake up, go to the game, come back in the hotels. Talk about no fun, no high fives, no hugs, no fist bumps. The best part about playing baseball is the high five. It's a celebration. Could you imagine hitting a home run? You come by and I just go, give you a head nod. I can't touch you. I can't give you a high five.
It's going to be the helmet tap and the ass slap, potentially.
It's a couple salutes. And then for a baseball, if multiple people touch it, they're going to throw out the baseball. So if you get a hit into the gap, right fielder gets the ball, throws it to the second base throws it to the shortstop throws the pitcher, that ball's out.
NFL. Okay, Wynn, I got you one. This is long-winded a little bit, but Peter King, pretty good writer.
Great writer.
Knows the NFL pretty well. He came out and said the NFL season or schedule could be reduced to 14 games, 12 games, or even 10 games. And a Super Bowl could end up being played on February 28th.
Ooh.
Good, bad, indifferent? Speculate on that.
I just want football. So I don't care if it's 10, 12, or 14 games. I feel like the NFL... I don't feel like this will change much. Like the season might be shortened, which is great, less injury risk. I'm actually excited because I think teams will be healthier, hopefully going to the playoffs. Whether that Super Bowl is February 28th, last week of January or the first week of February. I don't care, just as long as there's a Super Bowl. So Peter King, I like this speculation.
Out of 10, 12, and 14, what would you vote for?
14. I want more football games, obviously, because I'm a fan. Are you talking about as a player or as a fan?
Either or.
Give fan, me player and fan 14, player 10.
I would love to see 10 as a fan. Because really? I would want every game to matter.
Okay. That's a good point.
You look at teams 0-2. Doesn't really matter. They rebound. You go 0-2 and it's 10 games.
Vegas Nation, Vegas baby, with COVID-19 potentially affecting the NFL schedule and California, unsure when pro sports will reopen, could the Rams and Chargers look to Las Vegas as a temporary venue? Wow. Could you imagine that? Football players would love that. Vegas would love that. We would love that. Let's go to Vegas. Let's watch some games.
Friday, throw Saturday. Some dice. In Sunday night games, we got the Chargers, we got the Rams, we got your Las Vegas Raiders. What I could see happening is a defection to 1-2 Phoenix, go play in Glendale, and 1 to Las Vegas. It's all about Newsom and if he actually tempers a lot of the restrictions. But if he's the last cohort or person standing in terms of not allowing fans, that could happen. It's going to be a Rochambeau to see who goes to Vegas and who goes to Arizona.
Yeah. Well, do they both play at the Raiders field or do they have to play at UNLV?
As long as it's televised.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I think at this point, no one's flying to those games. I just want to see them played.
Yes.
I don't watch them from the couch.
All right. A tweet from Jeff Borzello. Updated way too early, top 25. He's got the Zags at 1. I don't even have to read the rest. I will. Zags at 1, Villanova at 2, Baylor at 3, Virginia at 4, Iowa at 5. Zags are loaded. They got players coming back. They have their best recruiting class of all time, possibly the best recruit of all time, Jalen Suggs from Minnesota, one and done. Point guard could do it all. I really hope there's a season because I'm excited just to see the Zags play and all this new talent.
The funny thing about this is the Zags do really well recruiting internationally.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about it, but the NIL thing doesn't really impact them all that much because they're not looking for that one and done guy, although they'll go out and get him, to your point. Around the recruit from Minnesota. What's his name?
Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, Suggs. But their impact may be minimal compared to those that are trying to recruit during this time of COVID. So Zags come up looking good. Number one, Zag Nation.
Zag Nation. But you're right. That's a good point because the Duke and the Kentuckys and, I don't know, maybe Arizona – they're getting those players that are like, do we go to college for 1 year or do we play somewhere else? Where Zag's getting usually like a 4-star player that's going to go to college for at least 3 or 4 years. So I don't think this will impact them that much.
Great internet connections in Spokane as well. One thing I did want to bring up, the Olympics.
Ooh, I had high school sports. It wasn't in my notes, but it's up here.
High school sports will... Does that impact? So let me get back to what I said earlier. Football is a high risk sport, or at least has been classified this way. Basketball and baseball, moderate risk. The last thing you want to do as a high school is open up sports and then have a second wave, as you talked about. What does that do for recruiting? What, you take guys on size? There's no longer stars, but it's just how big they are or how fast they are becomes the NFL combine.
I love this topic. Like, I want to get someone on the phone that we can talk to because you're not seeing these players in person. It's videotape. How do you get to know them? And then also they're saying some recruits might not feel safe with leaving their family. So the Pac-12 could be back. SC is right now number 5 in the 2021 recruiting class because these players are staying. and they're not leaving the state.
Great for California schools.
Larry Scott did it. He created COVID. Pac-12 is back. Recruiting's up. We're getting back to the glory days.
All right. Can we get to the Olympics?
Absolutely.
Real quick, because no, we don't touch on this, but it's the IOC is still stating that the Olympics will start on July 24th. My question to you.
Really?
Yes. July 24th, K-Win.
Is that in Tokyo?
Yes.
Wow. They didn't cancel that?
No. No cancellation. Full. And I quote.
What athletes have been training?
Full steam ahead. Like, how do you make that work?
I don't know.
My question is, if they have the Olympics and only three countries show up, then who is it really the Olympics?
Well, let's talk about this even more. You can't even play or hang out in a group. So how can you even be in a team sport right now?
No idea. What do you watch when you watch the Olympics?
I used to watch baseball. They got rid of it. So I like track and field. I'm a track guy.
Track and field. We're talking Summer Olympics, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a track and field guy.
So what can you get away with? Can you lure individual athletes rather than a country?
I don't know. Ooh. But what if the U.S. is going to have like 600 athletes and somewhere like, I don't know, Slovenia is going to have two?
Well, yeah, to my point, do you really need representation from all countries? Or are you going out? If you're the IOC, I'll put on my IOC hat. Do I go recruit the predominant athletes in the respective sports that make up the Olympics and say, screw the countries? We just want you to come so that we at least represent the Olympics as the best of the best?
You could do that. I heard Tokyo's nervous if they don't have it, that they might get skipped over. And so that's why they're pushing for it.
Well, here's my thing. Hasn't there been so many things built in and around the Olympics? Wasn't the LA Coliseum built for the LA Olympics?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you made this glorious area for all athletes.
That was Barcelona, Olympic Village, out right by the water where they put all the athletes.
Exactly.
You create this, like a bucket full of condoms.
Thank you. So you make this glorious area. You make all types of arenas, great areas, spectators. And then all of a sudden someone says, sorry, not happening. You probably spent upwards of $3 to $4 to multiple billions of dollars in infrastructure. You got people lined up to make this happen. And someone to come tell you that this is not happening. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. It's like building your dream house and you can't move in.
It's even worse than that. Building your dream country. No one can move in. No one can come.
Paying for it, not getting your money back.
Anything else you want to speculate on?
I mean, there's a lot to speculate. But right, that's what we have to do to fill the void as podcasters, as entertainers, as someone who has a Twitter account. We're doing our part speculating just like everyone else. Just want to let you know, we, Big Ben and K-Win, know just as much as everyone else that you read on Twitter.
We are pro speculators. I'm changing my title. What are you? I'm a pro speculator. Based on all the plethora of information coming to me, I'm going to speculate and tell you what may or may not happen.
If you throw enough stuff on the wall, something's got to stick, right?
All right. Big Ben and K-Win. Speculation. COVID sports speculation. You can check us out on iTunes, WST_podcast, wherever you get your social networking, Twitter, Instagram. We're getting a big uptick on Spotify.
Yeah.
So thank you for those that are listening on Spotify. Joe Rogan's coming over there. He's following us, obviously. But continue to tune in. We'd love your comments on speculation. What are you speculating? What's going to happen? Become a pro speculator.